The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Aha! Uh-huh. And welcome to a Tuesday, everyone. I woke up this morning for some reason thinking it was Wednesday. But I thought yesterday was Friday, so, you know, it's all good, I suppose, kind of, sort of. So welcome to it. Tonight, Tuesday night, September 29th, the very first debate. I was going to say presidential debate, but because Donald Trump is part of it, there will be nothing presidential about it. And the question is how do we... Or how does Joe Biden navigate these waters? We know what Donald Trump is, and we know how he comports himself in debates. I think because Joe Biden has a tendency to get angry, he does. He gets angry and he yells. He needs to embrace the laugh. A while ago, I installed a laugh track of sorts on my little wall of sound. It goes like this. So that when, you know, Trump says something asinine, rather, look, I get angry too, because when you deal with stupidity, I get mad. But I find it more unsettling to the other person if you just laugh at them. It's not laughing with them, because Donald Trump takes himself very seriously. It's laughing at him. And there's plenty to laugh at him about. So I hope, you know, a lot of people and organizations and newspapers and shows are giving Joe Biden advice on how he should handle himself tonight. At one point, Joe Biden said he'll be the fact checker. Well, he's being warned. Don't do that. Don't play Donald Trump's game. If Trump says something stupid and inane, he should pull out his automatic laugh track. And laugh at him and then move on or say that's another lie. Here's the truth. You know, don't get in the dirt with him. And if by so look, this is not the town hall format. The town hall format is where he was, you know, stalking Hillary Clinton. Remember, he was like hovering over her. If he does that to Joe Biden, Joe Biden should turn around and say, go fuck yourself. I seriously, because that would throw him off his game. It would surprise everyone. And Joe Biden should just go on with his business. Anyway, he needs to not get down in the dirt with him. Use laughter as a tool. It always works. Kind of, sort of. Anyway, the last few days I've been somewhat remiss with the funnies. And there is a new funny. This was, I'm going to play it for you now. This was released over the weekend. You know, Amy Coney Barrett is out making the rounds on Capitol Hill today, meeting with senators. We heard that Chuck Schumer will not meet with her. Fine. But she's, you know, showing up. I guess she was in Mitch McConnell's office and there was press present. And there's a picture of her up on, I want to say, Raw Story or one of those websites with this horrible scowl on her face. She just looks terribly unhappy. I have a feeling she is, because if you're a person of praise, I don't see there's much upside there. Anyway, she, one of the reporters shouted out a question about whether or not she'll recuse herself from anything having to do with the election. And she, you know, had that scowl on her face and didn't comment. So one more time, I'm going to remind you that aside from everything else, and boy, today there is a letter circulating. More than 1,500 alumni of Rhodes College, which is where Amy Coney Barrett went to school, have signed an open letter opposing her nomination. Let me share a little bit of it with you. They wrote, among other things. Many of us were also contemporaries of, friends of, and even sorority sisters of Amy Coney Barrett, the letter read. However, despite the respect that many of us hold for her intellect and even the friendship that many of us held or continue to hold with her, we are firmly and passionately opposed to her nomination. The letter continues. Judge Barrett also fails the Rhodes values test on the grounds of loyalty. Indeed, many would argue that even by accepting Trump's nomination less than 2 months before an election, she is endorsing the rank hypocrisy and disloyalty to their own claimed principles of the Republican senators who blocked President Obama from appointing Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court more than 8 months before the 2016 presidential election, but who are now vowing to rush her nomination through the Senate. But even Judge Barrett's own words on this topic indict her. The letter goes on. And it's stunning. And they have just page after page after page of signatories separated by graduating class. And so hers was the class of 1994. And boy, there were a lot of signatures from that class and signatures from classes since and before, going all the way back to 1959. That's the year I was born. And I'm 60. So a lot of people who know her, who are should be proud of her nomination, are saying, hell no. And I'm going to play one more thing before I get to this funny, because it is dealing with the subject. In 2016, Amy Coney Barrett commented on the Senate not allowing Merrick Garland a hearing. And one of the things she brought up, and you'll hear it in this clip I'm about to play, is it would change the core makeup of the court in an election year. It would replace a very, very conservative justice with someone in Merrick Garland who was, frankly, a moderate. He was as middle of the road as you can possibly get, probably leaning more towards the conservative side of the court. So listen when I play this and think back and look at what Amy Coney Barrett, who prides herself on being a follower of Antonin Scalia's and being of his ilk, if you will, replacing the most liberal justice of the Supreme Court, sounds to me like rank hypocrisy. What do you think, Amy Coney Barrett?
On Saturday, Marco Rubio suggested that presidents don't nominate Supreme Court justices during election years.
Yeah.
You are also a law professor. How valid is that assertion?
This is a question for her.
Well, it's not. I've seen all of the tallies on blogs, and I have not done the historical research
myself.
Her voice
is like fingernails on a blackboard to me.
There have been six in the 20th century, and 11 if you go back to the Civil War, of confirmations that happened during presidential election years. But I think the question is, what does this precedent establish?
Yes,
and I don't think it establishes a rule for either side in the debate.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back, say, at the six that were confirmed in the 20th century in a presidential election year, all but one of those was not confirmed. United
Spit it
government,
out, lady.
Where the president and the Senate were the same political party, and it shouldn't be a surprise that the Senate is willing to push a president's nominees through in an election year when they share the same political affiliation.
Shouldn't be a surprise.
The one exception to that was Anthony Kennedy, and the one that was confirmed in a period of divided government before that was in the 1880s. And Justice Kennedy, the arguments will be that situation was distinguishable. The nomination, the vacancy did not arise in the presidential election year. It arose the year before in June when Justice Powell retired. And Justice Kennedy was nominated in November of the prior year. Moreover, he was nominated after Bork's nomination had failed and Ginsburg withdrew his nomination.
Okay.
So the wrangling for the spot, the conversation about the spot, the existence of the spot, had been in play for a long time before that. Moreover, Kennedy is a moderate Republican, and he replaced a moderate Republican, Powell. We're talking about Justice Scalia, you know, the staunchest conservative on the court,
yes.
And we're talking about him being replaced by someone who could dramatically flip
the
balance of power on the court. It's not a lateral move.
Yeah?
You know, and finally, the reality is we live in a different...
Okay, I'm going to cut her off right there because that's all you needed to hear. This will not only change the makeup of the court today, but for a generation or more to come, because she would be the most staunch conservative out there filling the seat of the liberal lion, S. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That alone should disqualify her. I just wanted to make sure you heard that. I may have to play it again. But there's one of my favorite new video producing couples that I've discovered online. They go by the name A Man, Woman, Camera, Song Parody. And this time they are taking on one of my favorites from a Broadway play. See if you recognize it. Anyway, here you go. A Man, Woman, Camera, Song Parody. Take it away. It's Ruth, Glorious Ruth.
She was so worth waiting for, lived 3 years past 84. Why must cancer be so cruel? Every day we said a prayer, I guess God was unaware. Maybe he is just plain cruel. Now Mitch has said there's a seat we can fill, we can steal, we can purloin or cash. And there's nothing to stop them on Capitol Hill. But for now, close your eyes and imagine Ruth, glorious Ruth. Many lawyers feel flustered, always spoke the truth, while her colleagues just blustered. We loved every move she made. What's next is the question. Just thinking of Roe v. Wade gives us indigestion. Ruth, glorious Ruth, refused to be quiet. Recused, they would say, but she would deny it. Just picture her legacy, motivating the youth. Constitutional sleuth. She was worth a great ransom. Why do we lament and dwell? Yet what made us feel bolder?
Ruth's awesome descent in Shelby County beholder.
Ruth, glorious Ruth, our ride or die and our chieftain. Go to our voting booth. Choose Biden's side with relief then. Work up a new appetite to fight for O'Neill and truth. Oh, Ruth, once again, Ruth, fabulous Ruth, glorious Ruth. Ruth, glorious Ruth, adored, shriveled old creature.
We know, said forsooth, she's a tigress on simple procedure.
Just thinking of moving left, our senses go reeling.
One moment of knowing that full upfilling.
The glorious Ruth, what wouldn't we give for 3 extra months more? There's so much to live for. She ought not to be replaced by a man so uncouth. Oh, Ruth, magical Ruth, wonderful Ruth, marvelous Ruth, fabulous Ruth. Beautiful
girls, sometimes, you know, I need a fourth hand because I've got things spread out. So sometimes when I'm segueing from the end of a song to a spot and we hit commercials on Progressive Voices, I don't have enough hands to do everything at once and the song starts again. Anyway, in case you're not familiar with the musical Oliver, that was a parody of the song Food, Glorious Food. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, how do you dare to try to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg with that woman who sounds like she's 12 years old? You know, you can get vocal coaching. Just saying, if you're going to be a public figure, you might want to work on that. It's easy to fix. But that's me being catty. The other thing is, I don't know, just everything about this woman pisses me off, including her rank hypocrisy. So I was thrilled to see that letter from her colleagues. Anyway, opposing her nomination. Not that it'll help. They're talking about starting the hearings on October 12th and jamming them through. And again, I say slow down every single aspect of it. You know, make them have a roll call vote for everything that they usually just pass with unanimous consent. Slow it the fuck down so they can't get it done before November 3rd. And then if they dare, if they lose as horribly as it appears they will, it would take giant balls. I mean, massive bowling ball size balls to push her through the lame duck session. And again, look, Ellie Mistal was on the program yesterday and we had a great talk about it. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen. The show is not behind a paywall. Hopefully you contribute to help keep us going. But if you don't, that's okay. Go to NicoleSandler.com/9-28-20. That's yesterday's date. And you can hear the show. You can watch the show. It's all there. And listen to Ellie Mistal because he's a smart man. And what we need is a massive strike. And I'm not talking about going out in the dead of night protesting. I'm talking about every one of us going out, meeting at like the busiest intersections in your city and simply sitting, not moving. All right. Well, somebody's calling from, looks like LA. Hi, who's this? Hello, your radio's up and there's a little bit of a delay, so you need to turn it down. You there?
Okay.
I hear you.
I moved to another room.
Okay, perfect.
Do you hear the radio?
No, we're good now. I just don't, well, I kind of hear it, but it's okay. As long as you're not listening to that, because there's a bit of a delay. Hi.
Okay, just wanted you to know or remind you that there are two Senate seats up for election, and they're special. So if the Mark Kelly of Arizona
he gets seated
Martha
right away.
McSally,
yep.
And if Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock, who was the presiding minister at John Lewis's memorial, anyway, if he wins in Georgia, they will both be able to take office by the end of November. So then that would be two Democratic votes.
Is he running in the Senate or for the House?
These are both Senate. The thing about Warnock is he's running against the wealthy Kelly Loeffler,
right,
who's in the seat now. But the other Republican who is Trump's favorite, Doug Collins, is also competing. So they're splitting the Republican vote. The only problem, not the only problem, but there is another Democrat, Matt Lieberman, Joe Lieberman's son, if he would get out, then Warnock would be the favorite and we could all fight and call and, you know.
Yeah, but you know what?
If he gets 50% of the vote, then he takes the seat. That's the situation.
Okay, but I'm confused because primary season is over. So how are Kelly Loeffler and Doug Collins still both in the race, along with Joe Lieberman's son? I mean, there should only be two candidates, right?
No, it's a special election.
Oh, that's why.
Kelly Loeffler was appointed by the governor to fill that spot. It's Johnny Isaacson.
Johnny Isaacson's seat.
He retired early from being ill. So they're all, it's a jungle primary.
The worst, right? That's actually on the ballot here. I know you have it out in California.
World,
yeah.
It would be a great outcome.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. How are things out in LA today?
Well, you know, a little cloudy. I live in West LA near Culver City. It's fine. It's peaceful. I just mailed 30 letters to Wisconsin. I'm trying to do my activism bit, trying to educate the voters, bring them out. You know.
Good for you.
But things are fine.
Okay.
Things
well, glad to hear so it. Glad to hear it. Well, thank you. What's your first name?
Lynn.
Lynn. Lynn, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
All right.
You're welcome. Thank you for the show.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I just realized I've been in commercials on Progressive Voices this whole time. Let's bring them back because they're hearing spot after spot after spot. And then once we bring them back, we can bring Laffy in. I was going to give you a little bit of the news, but we can go through it with Laffy. All right. Welcome. Oh, let's do it this way. Welcome back, Progressive Voices listeners. You know what time it is, don't you? Oh, I got to do it from up here. We talked about this, Laffy and I off the air. Neither one of us have been sleeping much. So, you know, forgive us the brain fart, but here we go. All right, here we go. I think.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carla Laff on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Every Tuesday, we get together with my pal, Gotta Laff. And we shoot the shit about the news and other stuff. First, we got to get her on the line. So, hello?
Yes, you've reached the presidential debates hotline.
Oh, yay. Oh, the debates tonight. I didn't forget. Okay.
Press one if you think because of both candidates' age, the Commission on Presidential Debates came up with a new rule. Pee breaks every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Press two if you think that during commercial breaks, it's customary to touch up the candidate's makeup. But in Trump's case, they have to wheel out a trough of Bronx Colors, boosting hydrating concealer in orange, and paint and a paint roller. Oh, get the joke right, Laffy. Don't
you
blow
have my
the punchline
today.
Oh, man. And a paint roller. Boom, boom. Boom. Do the drum roll.
Wait. Oh, shit. Here it is. This
rim shot. Okay.
The timing is way off today.
Oh, man. The two of us, we need sleep like 50 hours sleep between us. Press three, because there's a third one. If you think to prepare for the debates, Biden's been brushing up on the issues. And Trump's been spending all his time repeating over and over again, person, woman,
man,
camera,
television.
TV.
Yeah. You know, but funny enough, the first couple of things you mentioned, what was the first one you mentioned?
The pee break.
There are no pee breaks.
I know.
And the Trump people are trying to say that Joe Biden demanded a pee break. The other part, there are no commercial interruptions either. They go straight through for 90 minutes.
Right.
But apparently the Trump people were saying that Joe Biden wouldn't, submit to a earphone check to make sure he's not wearing earphones and demanded pee breaks in the middle of it. And so the Biden people said, well, because they're saying that, then the gloves are off. So the Trump people have demanded that Chris Wallace. Oh, am I stepping on you?
The tweet that we can go out. I read you the tweet.
And I just read the article. So it's I'm going to blow it.
We'll hit it on the tweet. How about
okay,
that?
We'll hit it on the tweet. You got to stay tuned for the tweet spot.
Let's not step on Laffy's little section.
Oh, my God. I'm stepping on everything today. Stepping on the punchlines, getting it all wrong, screwing up. Can November 4th come already?
It's that kind of show. By the way, Disney just laid off 28,000 workers. That should play well in America.
Yes, because
cruise ships, retail business, theme parks.
And you know, my sister, I have two sisters. The one that lives down here, mm-hmm. is a Disney addict. And so they have the annual passes for Disney World and everything. And sure enough, after they reopened, I know they didn't reopen Disneyland in California yet, but they did reopen Disney World in Florida about, I want to say, a month ago already. But they did it with limited amounts of people allowed in. Everyone has to wear a mask. They do temperature checks. Of course, my sister has been there twice already. And but she did say that if you take your mask off for a second, they descend on you. They like a swarm. Good. They're very diligent. And she said, and it's a great way to go to Disney because the lines go like this. But I was going to say, chances are they're probably going to have to shut it down again because the instances of the virus, the infections are on the rise again.
But sure, because what's his face opened everything up?
Governor Death Sentence.
Yeah,
he opened everything at 100%. Yeah. Now, and a city or a municipality cannot say the least they can open up is at 50%. They can't say, sorry, we're staying closed. They can't mandate a mask, or they can mandate it, but there's no fine or consequences to pay if you're without a mask. So,
well, yeah, the consequences is you get sick.
You get sick. I hope you get sick. Right. It's unbelievable.
Minor little consequence.
All. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to go for the Tweeties? Because we have so much to talk about.
Okay. All right. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my Tweet Fest.
Okay. Tweet.
Tweet.
Tweet. What?
We just jinx tweeted each other.
We did. How about that? Gosh. Oh my God.
Okay. Well, you knew I'm telling you, this show is, it's going to be a unique one. We might as well have another drunk show because it's turning out like this one.
We got to get together and make pizzas. Oh, by the way, you know what? I don't even need Blaze anymore. We now make our own tortilla pizzas.
Send me the recipe.
There's no recipe. You just do it. You get like a nice flour tortilla. You crisp it up in a frying pan. Just spray a little bit of olive oil on it. Let it let it get a little crispy on both sides. Then you put the cheese on. Then you put the veggies and stuff and put the sauce on last and you put it in the oven. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh God, that sounds so good.
It's really good.
Now.
Really good.
Now, okay, well, I need an excuse to do my what's her name, Ivanka voice.
Oh God. But Ivanka's in the news this week. Hey, in case you hadn't heard, the New York Times got a hold of Donald Trump's tax records for 20 years.
She's in there.
And she's in there. Go figure. Because even though she was already an employee of the Trump Organization, she was paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $700,000 to $800,000 as a consultant.
Daddy likes to pay me even when I do nothing. Because he used to pay me to sit on his lap. But I started charging more. And so he said, well, Ivanka, I think I might as well put you on the payroll. And that's how I got my job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Lapsing.
You know, I do hear, Ivanka, that there's a lot in there that, you know, you and Jared could be at risk of criminal prosecution and maybe even have to serve some time. So do you have somebody like handy who can take care of your kids for a few years, perhaps?
I don't worry about that because Prince Jared is good at everything.
He's going to go to jail.
We won't go to jail because Prince Jared will be our lawyer too. So he'll handle all the portfolios in the White House, and he'll be my lawyer. If for some reason he fails, which he never does, he never fails. But if he fails, he will also be our warden.
Okay.
So Daddy took care of that.
I see.
Daddy took care. He takes
care of peace in the Middle East.
That's a given.
Right.
I think you knew that because we're Jewish. Okay, so Trump, this is from Bloomberg. Daddy considered me to be his 2016 running mate. According to... according to Rick Gates, his new book,
yes,
he considered Ivanka as his running mate, but then, quote, all heads turned toward her and she just looked surprised. We all knew Trump well enough to keep our mouths shut and not laugh. That's such a good quote.
Okay.
Prince Jared hired an audience. Okay, I can't do her anymore. I'm laughing too much.
Okay, where did the prince come from? Did I miss something? It's her nickname for him.
Prince Jared. He dresses up for me. But that's a whole different story. Okay.
Okay.
To get back to our topic that we started to talk about, but I cut you off unceremoniously.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So Will Sommer of the Daily Beast, this is a two-parter. Actually, this is like a three or four-parter, but this is the first part.
Okay.
So Will Sommer said, lots of disinformation ahead of tonight's debate. One case, InfoWars says Biden got questions in advance, citing former Fox host Todd Starnes. Starnes himself just heard it on local radio, and the radio station got it from Conspiracy Theory King and ex-InfoWars employee Jerome Corsi.
Oh,
so,
God.
Okay, all that happened. So, you know, because they feed off each other like little leeches.
Yes.
Mehdi Hasan said, or Hassan, I'm sorry.
Hassan. I think it's Hassan.
Is it Hassan? How do you cope with this level of constant disinformation? Seriously, we all laugh, roll our eyes and on here, but across the country and across the world, millions of people imbibe and believe and swear by this BS. How can you have democracy if you don't have a shared reality? That was the serious side of it. I got serious for a second.
I see. I was gonna hit the laughter again, but I thought, well, that wasn't really funny. So
no, okay. It wasn't funny at all. But we can laugh because
we can laugh
happy.
If we want to. Yeah. Okay.
That's right. all right. Don't do this to me. Okay.
Laffy's having a giggle attack. Wow. I didn't think it was that funny, but
I'm
okay.
Stopping now. Okay. Whew. All right. So, you know that Kate.
I hope you're watching on video because seeing Laffy just cracking up is kind of a lovely sight. I'm just going to let you keep going.
I swear to God, this is like, it's cathartic. And I'm letting all my upset out through a laughing fit. Okay, so Kate Bedingfield, deputy campaign manager. She's awesome.
For Joe Biden.
Deputy campaign manager and communications director. She's really good. So Biden's campaign manager responding to or whatever she is, a deputy campaign manager responding to Trump's claims that Biden won't agree to an ear inspection and wants breaks every 30 minutes.
Right.
She says, of course he's not wearing an earpiece and we never asked for breaks. If we're playing that game, then you know the Trump's team asked Chris Wallace not to mention the number of deaths from COVID once during the debates. You can consider that confirmed from the Biden campaign. See how easy that was to try to throw up a distraction?
Oh,
and if you want to confirm it, here it is. This guy, Kyvan Shroff he's the jack of all trades, master of some, doing everything I can to make fine. He's somebody, I don't know, a Yale guy.
Okay.
I don't know who he is, but anyway, he looks important. He said, breaking, the Trump campaign did ask that as a condition for the debate tonight, Chris Wallace was not to mention the number of COVID deaths in the U.S., which is well over 200,000. Let's see if there's more to
that. So was he actually, did the Trump campaign ask Chris Wallace not to mention the 200,000 people have died in the U.S. from COVID? Or was that made up and they are just, the Trump people are just pushing it because they're insane?
I don't know. It looks like maybe, I don't know. Kay Bitz of the Biden campaign says the campaign asked as a condition.
Who knows?
What he's saying, but who the hell? You know what? I don't even care.
I know.
I don't care because it's funny. What she said was funny and nothing else matters.
Exactly.
Ever.
Of course. Okay.
Okay. Now we're gonna talk about how horrible a person Mitch McConnell is.
He's scary. Sorry.
Horrible. And I'm still laughing. Okay. He's refusing a debate on KET, the statewide public affairs channel that would be moderated by a black woman.
So he's refusing to debate, what's her name, who's running against him, the fighter pilot, whose name?
McGrath.
Amy McGrath, right.
He says he refuses to appear in debates with a female moderator. And then there's this article. Let me just get it up here. For you. This is from Kentucky Democrats. He refuses to, McConnell is refusing to participate in debates that include women journalists and as moderators, according to the Lexington Herald Leader.
Wow.
McConnell is refusing to debate on KET, and the moderator would have been a black woman, Renee Shaw. And it appears after accepting a debate hosted by TV stations owned by Gray TV, McConnell's campaign worked to get a woman proposed to co-moderate the debate, Shannon Cogan, removed. The debate is now moderated only by a man. It's a trend that McConnell has carried for 25 years, the newspaper reported, noting that the last time McConnell participated in a debate with a female moderator was in 1996.
Whoa, somebody needs to ask him about that and get him on the record. Is he like Mike Pence, where he can't be in a room with a woman without mother present? I don't think that's the case. What is his problem with women?
He's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole. His name is
Mitch McConnell,
and he's the new world's biggest asshole.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Asshole.
It's true, you know.
That's wild. That's wild. I never heard that before. I did not know that Mitch McConnell was so afraid of women.
Apparently he is, although he did marry one. Although I wonder
Elaine
exactly
Chow.
What that is.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I mean, could you get in bed with that face? Ugh.
Money. Ugh. She's got money and green. Yeah, the turtle. I had a thing about, you know, turtles. But the green, I guess, is attractive to some people.
Oh.
Elaine Chow's family has money.
I mean, Elaine Chow, how could she? It's unfathomable to me that you could either talk to or look at Mitch McConnell and say, now there's a guy who's attractive and I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah, really.
There's a guy I want to get in bed with. He must be wild in bed.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No, 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 no.
Well, she must have thought that, right?
No, she thought, I don't know. I have no, I don't know.
Or they made a deal of some kind. So I don't know.
Okay.
I can't imagine. Maybe it was the financial situation.
Maybe. I don't know. I
mean, this is what people are saying and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's telling me that
people
McConnell
say
married.
That. Yeah. A lot of people say that. A lot of people.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Okay. okay. So here to continue with our drug test of sleepy Joe Biden routine here, Trump tweeted, this is yesterday, I will be strongly demanding a drug test of sleepy Joe Biden prior to or after the debate on Tuesday night. Naturally, I will agree to take one also. And then he goes on. So Empty Wheel, our buddy Marcy, she says, Trump, willing to pee in a cup, but not respond to rape allegations or show us his tax returns.
And he's not willing to pee in a cup. This is what he does. This is the projection, because he knows that we've been talking about his drug use for years, because he knows that we know that he's got this Adderall addiction. So what does he do? He gets his people to accuse Joe Biden of taking Adderall and then says, oh, I know. Let's challenge him to take a drug test, which, you know, he won't do. But that way I'm off the hook and I don't have to take one, even though there's video of a white something shooting out of his nose.
That was sickening. Ugh.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Ew.
Too many times. It's gross.
I mean, I literally had to turn away. Oh, it's horrible. Oh my God.
Yeah. But this is what he does. It's that old, it goes back to when we were kids and someone would call you a bad name and you'd say, I'm rubber, you're glue. Anything you say bounce off me and sticks to you. This is the mentality of Donald Trump. So that he takes the things that we're saying about him, which are obviously true, that he's got a drug problem, and turning it around to accuse
always
his opponent
projection
of it. It's projection. And that's what he does every day.
You know, my phrase, I say it every single day on Twitter, and that is everything out of Trump's mouth is a lie and or projection.
Yep.
Because it's true.
Yep.
Because we know that. And he's going to do that tonight. Brace yourselves. Grab a bottle of something very alcoholic or smoke something strong.
Yep.
Or whatever pill you choose. I don't care what the hell you do, but you better self-medicate, because Trump is going to be disgusting tonight.
Oh, he's going to show off his geniosity.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm really hoping. I mean, I know his fans will be all revved up, and that's fine, because, you know, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's going to do.
Well,
that's
hopefully fine. I think there will be nobody in the audience, which will work against him, because he won't have his, you know,
no,
minions.
There is an audience.
There is an audience. I thought there was no audience in these debates.
No, there is an
Why?
Audience. They're going to be a small audience. I don't know. I just saw that today. I was talking about that with somebody online, and we're saying, oh, you know who was Wiley Miller? We were emailing, you know, Wiley, who does Non Sequitur.
Oh, yeah.
The comic. Mm-hmm. He and I were saying, why are they having an audience? What the hell are they thinking? It's so much better without interruptions. It's so much better without trying to play to your people and just be up there and face off with your opponent. It's so much more professional. Of course, they won't do that, because every one of these debates is being held, isn't it, by a more right-leaning organization?
This is the Commission on Presidential Debates or something. League of Women Voters who does it. But this is not how they did it in the primaries, where ABC gets one, NBC gets one, Fox gets one. It's not like that. This commission decides, okay, there are going to be three presidential debates, one vice presidential debate, and here are who the moderators are going to be, and here's where they're going to be held. Neither campaign nor the networks have any say in the matter. They're all carrying it. So, you know, where in the primaries it would be, well, this is the NBC debate or this is the CNN debate. These are going to be everywhere. This will be on every channel.
That's right. I had totally forgotten about that. You're right. Yeah. But yay for Fox being the first one to ask questions.
Yeah.
But he's not a bad interviewer, but he's not going to follow. He will follow up.
He won't fact check.
He's not going to fact check. Right. He already said he wouldn't. And like you said, I hope Biden doesn't spend his time. Was it you just said?
Not playing along with him. Biden needs to pretty much ignore him, to occasionally, you know, laugh. Just laugh when he says something ridiculous.
Just laugh
and leave it at that. Then go answer the question.
Right.
Don't pay him any more attention than an occasional laugh, and make it clear that you're laughing at him, not with him.
Right. And whatever the main thing I think he should do is not let himself get rattled.
No.
Because Trump's going to try to dig at his sons.
Yep.
And that's that's.
And Biden needs to not get angry, because he has a tendency to yell. Look, people used to bitch about Bernie Sanders yelling. Bernie was just a loud talker. Bernie was a Jewish New Yorker, and that's how we talk. God damn it! But Joe Biden gets angry, and it shows. It's like the veins pop out on his head. He needs to not do that.
Oh, by the way, you had mentioned you were wondering or discussing how Trump was hovering over Hillary, yes. and would he try to? He can't. They're going to be at
podiums, right? No, yeah. the debate, the second debate. Well, the second one's going to be the vice presidential one, which is happening next Wednesday. Then the following Thursday on the 15th is the second presidential debate, which is going to be down here in Miami, and that's the one that's a town hall format.
Yeah,
with undecided voters. And how asinine is that? I'm sorry. 2 weeks out from the election, you're looking for undecided voters. They're the only ones who can ask questions. And I got to say, if you're undecided on October 15th, when election day is November 3rd, then you don't have the right to ask questions because you don't pay attention and you're probably an idiot.
Well, not only is Election Day officially on November 3rd, but Election Day has already started.
Right, so because we've already
if you don't
voted
know by now. Holy crap!
Exactly.
Anyway, here's one from Davida Davison, and she's something about director at Food Lab Detroit. That's fun. She said Trump is nothing more than What we're getting into now is the New York Times story.
About his
finances, about his tax returns.
Yep.
And she said Trump is nothing more than a broke father of five kids by three different women living in public housing.
That's a perfect description of him. In fact, the only thing that would make it better is if we could change the public housing, put him in something slightly less accommodating accommodations.
Oh, and then she said, I didn't see this one. And Tiffany was born out of wedlock, for those following along. She just goes on and on and on. I don't know. That's what she's saying.
Whatever.
I don't care.
I
really don't care if she's born out of wedlock. Okay,
care.
Then Vote Vets said, wonder if that $750 Trump paid in taxes is more or less than a Russian bounty on our troops.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one. That gets a ding. How much does your typical Russian bounty for an American troop go for these days?
Well, Daddy, sometimes he gives specials because the bounties, they get stale like his steaks used to. They get spoiled. You know, he likes them fresh. He likes fresh bounties. Sometimes he offers to brand the bounties with his signature, the Sharpie signature, so that they feel more special when they kill our troops. Which I think is a very good incentive. Because sometimes murderers need incentives.
Mm.
And Daddy's very, very good at, like, you remember, but you could do us a favor, though. I think that was a really good incentive.
Oh, yes. I want you to do us a favor, though. Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you can understand that.
Oh.
Prince Jared, stop pulling on my leg. Okay. Okay, so Jeet here.
Yes, at The Nation.
That's such a good name. I love that name.
Jeet here.
He's with The Nation.
The Nation.
He said in 2016, Trump paid $129,250 more to Stormy Daniels than to the U.S. government.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think that's kind of rude.
Rude of Donald Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, he's like, you know, stiffing the government the way he stiffs all his workers. And when we get stuck
and
with
contractors,
bills right, now,
right. And
and the contractors, exactly.
Pay his bills. Yeah. Yeah.
So rude. Okay. So Oliver Willis, you know, Oliver Willis.
Yeah. Isn't he at Media Matters or something? Or used to be?
He was. He's now with American Independent. He's a senior writer.
Okay.
GOP.
Yeah.
Elitist Democrats are out of touch with normal people. Also GOP. Everybody uses shell corporations and massive accounting tricks to avoid hundreds of thousands, even millions in taxes.
Everybody does. Really?
And then he goes, what?
Yeah. I'll tell you,
I don't.
I don't.
No.
I never did.
I did. I had little shell corporations made out of shells.
Oh, I see.
And then I would just use tricks to make them move around. But no, of course I never did that. Are you out of your mind? I don't even have the money to do that. All right. Frank Figluzzi had a reminder for us.
Yes.
Okay, so Trump's always yakking about how his taxes are under audit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why they're under audit? Yeah. It's because of the massive, he says, massive losses are what triggered the IRS audit that he keeps using.
He claimed he lost $73 million in a year. And the only thing more insane than that is that the IRS refunded him $73 million before checking it out, before doing the audit. How do you put up, how do you give back or give that kind of money without doing the research first?
Yeah, I want to know that too. And you also know that only 3% of the very wealthy now get audited because of the shortages and mess up over at the IRS. I can't think of the word.
Yeah. So instead they audit people like me who don't make jack shit, exactly. Who don't have two dimes to rub together because right. We're easier to audit. And I guess to, you know, garnish my life savings if there's anything there. I mean, it's opposite world, just like everything else. It's opposite world. I'm sorry. They should throw all their auditors, all their manpower at auditing people on Trump's level who do this kind of criminal action, trying to bilk the U.S. Treasury out of money that it needs to do its business.
That would be good.
Yeah, it would be good. $73 million. God damn it.
Yeah. The Hill tweeted, top House Republican calls for a probe of the source of the New York Times Trump tax documents. And here it goes. Kevin Brady, Representative Kevin Brady, Republican, Texas, oh, yeah, called on Monday for a probe into the sources of the New York Times story that detailed two decades worth of tax returns. Brady, the head Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, released a statement on the report that was published saying a felony crime was committed by giving Trump's tax information to the newspaper. He goes on to say, while many critics question the article's accuracy, equally troubling is the prospect that a felony crime was committed by releasing the private tax return information of an individual, in this case, the president's. I think he should have stuck with individual one.
Yeah, no kidding.
To ensure every American is protected against the illegal release of their tax returns for political reasons, I am calling for an investigation of the source and to prosecute if the law was broken.
Puh. Puh.
Puh. Puh. Those are my jowls flapping. And finally, my last tweet.
Ooh.
And then we may have a little John Oliver surprise.
Oh, we do. Actually, we do. Yes.
So I'll get this one over with. This is a happy news story.
Okay.
This is from Dan Zak.
Okay.
And he's with the Washington Post.
Okay.
And he says the USPS workers are resisting orders so they can deliver mail on time. Mechanics in New York aren't moving mail sorters. Mm-hmm. Ohio clerks rescue prescriptions from stalled bins and deliver mail off hours.
Thank you.
And in Pennsylvania, carriers make excuses to buy time to finish their routes. And then the Postal Service, I have been quietly resisting the DeJoy changes with an eye on the election. Many of them see recent cost-cutting changes that have slowed mail deliveries as violating the spirit, if not the letter, of the law. So yay, USPS workers.
Yes, thank you to our postal workers. Thank you for doing your job.
Them.
Yes, and we need to get you a new boss. Okay, yeah. So a couple of quick notes. Somebody in one of the chat rooms asked what time. The debate begins at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. It runs for 90 minutes. By the way, I've been recruited to participate in another survey about the debate. So it's a YouGov CBS survey.
I got that one.
They just sent me an email. So we'll send you an invitation to that survey as the debate is concluding around 10:25 Eastern, 7:25 Pacific. We need you to respond as quickly as possible because CBS News will air the results live on television tonight. So,
well, I turned it down.
You did?
Because I'm going to be too busy. And too tired and too annoyed because I really considered it. I thought, ooh, should I
I'm
be
gonna
one of those
do
people
it.
That
I,
does that?
I yes, I'm doing it. So,
but that means I'd have to go to my computer and do all that.
Oh,
so I didn't want to.
No,
do that.
I can do it right on my phone. Anyway, that's happening. So the debate is tonight. Yeah. Meanwhile, we were talking off the air about John Oliver, who's always brilliant and won another Emmy at the weird Emmy Awards they had a few weeks ago. It deserves it, totally deserves it. And he did a show Sunday night with everything going on. This is one of those must-watch shows. So Laffy and I listened to it and boiled it down to just a few minutes. So this is John Oliver talking about this fucked up situation in which we find ourselves with Amy Coney Barrett and everything else that's going on and how we got to this place. So in this clip, John Oliver sort of sums up where we are right now, right? That's a good way to put it. Here we go. Here's John Oliver.
Even if the Democrats sweep the election, and even if they then get rid of the filibuster and then have the courage to pass major legislation, those laws are now increasingly vulnerable to a more conservative Supreme Court striking them down. And that has led some to suggest taking the more dramatic step of expanding the Supreme Court by adding justices. It is possible. The Constitution doesn't specify how many seats there should be, and it can and has been done in the past through a simple act of Congress, although there are real concerns about what the eventual blowback to that would be. That is definitely worth considering. Nothing should be taken lightly here, though I will say there are some other steps we could take that should be impossible to argue with at this point. Steps that would make both the Senate and White House more representative of the electorate. On the Senate side, you could grant statehood to Washington, D.C., and, if voters there want it, Puerto Rico. That would not only help balance out the Senate's bias toward white rural voters, it's also the right fucking thing to do for the almost 4 million Americans who currently have no senatorial representation whatsoever, which is just astonishing. That's roughly the population of Rhode Island, Maine, Montana, and Wyoming combined. Now, as for the presidency, we have to get rid of the Electoral College, which might sound radical, but it really isn't. It's not even a new idea. In fact, in the late 60s, it very nearly happened. And even today, the idea has widespread support, with 61% of Americans saying we should abolish the Electoral College. But Republicans will fiercely defend it. But the beauty is, the movement doesn't necessarily require an act of Congress at all, because a group of states have quietly signed on to an interesting potential workaround.
Recently, 15 states and the District of Columbia joined the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. They're pledging to give their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the national popular vote, rather than the person who wins the popular vote in their state. But this won't take effect until enough states adopt it, which so far hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Very basically, if enough states just pretend the Electoral College doesn't exist, it could functionally disappear.
That is an astounding factoid, as it were, that if the states just go along with the notion that the Electoral College doesn't count, that they're going to award their electors to whoever wins the popular vote nationally, well, they could do that. Problem is, you don't often know who's going to win the popular vote nationally when you're reporting the state tallies, right? Laffy.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. My voice didn't work for a second. I actually said, yeah, right. That's right, Nicole.
So
everything you say.
Right. So then John Oliver wrapped it all up by explaining what we could do.
We've expanded the court before, and we've added states before. We added two states in 1959. America is constantly shifting, and granting DC and Puerto Rico statehood or ending the Electoral College would actually make our system more democratic rather than less, because the unavoidable truth here is that the system is already rigged. And it's rigged in a way that has allowed a party without popular support to drastically reshape an entire branch of government for the foreseeable future by appealing almost exclusively to white voters in some of the least populous regions of the country. That is not a mandate.
Nope.
And it's not democracy.
Nope.
It's a fucking travesty. We're at the end of a generational battle. And the heartbreaking thing is
we lost.
And that hurts. It's going to hurt for a long time for a lot of people in ways that could take a while to fully comprehend. But the next battle has to start right now, and it will be long. We didn't get here overnight, and we won't get out of here overnight, but we must be willing to fight tirelessly and with every tool and tactic at our disposal, because sometimes fighting fire with fire is not enough.
And you know what? If I was allowed to play music on this show, I would have segued automatically immediately from that into Bob Marley and the Wailers, Get Up, Stand Up. Stand up for your rights.
Now, we now have a real problem with people like Dianne Feinstein, who does not want to change the filibuster or expand the court. We've got, what's his name that was in the...
Joe Manchin.
We've got people like them who are Democrats who will not budge.
Yep.
So we have to really push. I've already written to Dianne Feinstein.
Good for you. Did you tell her to retire?
I wish I had. I also called her, by the way. I don't stop with just writing.
Well, you're a constituent, so you can. They don't want to hear from me. Dianne Feinstein doesn't want to hear from me. But if you live in California... She wants to hear from you. She needs to hear from you.
Yes.
And the same thing goes in West Virginia and Joe Manchin. All right. With that, we have reached the end of the hour. I'm going to go to sleep.
End of the laughing pit.
All right. On that note, go watch the debate. Watch CBS so you could see how I scored it in the survey. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Joe. Ignore him. Laugh at him. Bye.
Bye.